John Richards, Leo 3.
What? Surely I've got this. Why am I getting punished like this? I tried to talk to my sister, but I couldn't get through to her. She seemed as if she was now thinking about it, as if she was in a sort of a trance. I couldn't see no tears. I couldn't get no sense. I just couldn't make it out. Something had happened to her. She went as if she breathed inside. I couldn't see no emotions. I thought, but her eyes were as if they were blank. Since we left Vienna that day, the first time I ever saw this kind of emotion is when I was in a service and I saw a person that came from a concentration camp, and he had that same kind of a stare in the face. Later on in life, my sister became more emotional. But this part of her life, I learned later on in life, she told me, she amputated surgically. This is the only way I can describe it. She surgically amputated it because it's something she couldn't dwell on. She had her own life to lead. She had a family and her children and her husband, so she had to cut it out. Unfortunately, I couldn't do this. I think I'm a more emotional person. And because I've been, I'm so emotional, all this has haunted me to the present day. And of course, being in a service and having seen some of the things that I did see whilst in the service, it brought a lot of it back to me. And having talked to other people. Anyway, after we got out of Holland, we went through Holland and we finished off the Hook of Holland, and there was this ship standing there in an evening time. We'd been on the train quite a long time, about 36 hours, if not longer. I can't at the present time remember. It seemed a nightmare to me. But we were told to come off the train. We were told to come off the train, which we did. Took our little belongings, we were told to bring all our belongings with us. And we had to stand on the quayside and wait for our names to be called. It was explained to us, they allocated cabins to us. I saw this ginormous boat standing there. I thought, oh, we're going on a boat. New experience. They called my sister's name out, they called my name out, and we were allocated a cabin. Unfortunately, I knew no English at what time, my sister didn't know any English. We got into this, they were showing where the cabin was, got into the cabin, and this, that must have been one of the Quaker people that escorted us, told us we can go to bed now. But we had anything to eat, or food didn't enter my mind after those days. Anyway, went to bed. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. I felt ever so thirsty. I took a baby it might not be relevant to the whole thing, but it always sticks in my mind. I got up, got this glass, had a drink of what I call water. It tasted all salty to me. Oh dear. I laid down and all of a sudden I started to feel dizzy. My mouth went dry, I felt bad. Now, after having been in a nursing profession for a while, whilst in the Air Force, I realised it was a type of emetic when you take something poisonous and it makes you sick. Of course, I felt so bad all night, and of course, I remember trying to vomit, but all I could put in that was just bile. We got up in the morning, and I tried to explain to the first patient of having the time we had to go to Wentworth what had happened. They weren't interested. Come on, breakfast time. Of course, I couldn't eat my breakfast, but I felt so ill. We tried to explain, but I suppose they had so many children to deal with, they couldn't just stand and listen. Anyway, we got off. We had somewhat breakfast. I tried to have something, but as soon as I drank my bit of coffee, because they offered us this brand liquid cold tea with milk in, which to me was, that wasn't tea, to me tea in those days, that was tea with lemon in, or chamomile tea or something like that, but we weren't used to tea with milk, used to coffee, yes. Anyway, as soon as I had a couple of mouthfuls of this coffee, I had to leave the dining room, and had to go and vomit. Anyway, we got back to the cabin, got our stuff together, and off the boat we went, onto another train. And of course, surprise, surprise, what a train it was, lovely comfortable seats. Who am I used to this? I thought, my goodness, this is comfortable. Lovely train. Anyway, off we went. On this train, we arrived in London. When we got to London, told to get off the train again, just stand there, and we had our labels on our jackets. Make sure our labels were showing with our names on. And this man came along and wanted to take me. I said, I'm not going. What do you mean? I said, look, the last thing my father said to me, he spoke a little bit of German, the last thing my father said to me, I'm not to be parted from my sister. Well, at the time I didn't know this. I was destined to go with this man, and my sister was destined to go to this convent up in Tottington, Lancashire. But I very much stood my ground, and I said, no, I'm not going with you. I'm staying with my sister. Okay, he said. Off he went. Took somebody else, another person, I suppose it must have been. Both my sister and I, but somebody came along, a young man, a young lady, young woman, and we took a taxi to this house in London. Well, we had a meal. The first meal I think we had for ages. And we sat there and talking, and the young man spoke German, and as we went along, Arthur agreed, he tried to tell us in English, so-and-so, and so-and-so, this is so-and-so, and this is a knife, and this is a fork, and this is a spoon, this is a glass, and this is a cup of tea, you know. He tried to tell us, and I'm very pleased about that. I tried to learn. Anyway, we slept the night in his house. Next morning, somebody else came along, and took us by train. Another train journey. And I thought, oh my God, this is never going to finish. We finished off in this convent in Tottington near Bury, in Lancashire. When we got there, we were separated. I tried to say, well, look, I don't want to be separate. Well, they said, the nuns, Some of them did speak German. They spoke German, English, Spanish, because there was a lot of Spanish children there from the revolution. The Spanish, because at that time there was this, not the revolution, there was this, if you remember, there was a Spanish war. And all these Spanish boys were there. Some of them spoke English. And one of them tried to teach me English. But what I thought was English, it wasn't. They were swear words. And why is it whenever anybody tries to teach anybody a language, they always teach them a swear word? And didn't I get in trouble for using those words? Oh dear, oh dear. Anyway, my sister went off, I went off. And I went into this large dormitory, and I never stepped in a dormitory. Because even when I was in this comet in Vienna, there was only about three of us into a small room. I woke up in the night, because I had a large glass of water before I went to bed, I was so thirsty. Oh dear, what a catastrophe it was. What with all the things that went on over the last few days, I tried to find my way to the toilet, I couldn't. And I stood in the corner, I did a naughty thing. I urinated. Somebody heard me. Sister came in the morning, because I couldn't understand, because there was a lot of English children there, Spanish boy, there's Spanish boys, myself. And it was translated to me who that was in the corner. So I said, I did. Well, why couldn't you go to the toilet? It was translated to me again. I said, well, I couldn't find it. Well, it was either that, I said, or went in the bed. I said, so I found it on the corner here. And this boy put his hand up. And this brother lad who spoke German and English translated to me and said, yes, sister, I saw him, I heard him. Anyway, I got a good idea. I don't think going back now, thinking as an adult now, and thinking of what the memory and what it was does to one's mind, they didn't take all that into consideration. I was just suddenly there in a convent to be punished. And of course, I wasn't just a good guy, I think. I was made to do menial tasks. And one of the tasks was scrubbing the toilets out. But then I promised my father I would be good little boy. So I did what I was told. Till eventually, one of the nuns there must have taken pity on me. And she spoke very good German. Every day, though, for an hour, we had to go to this classroom to try and learn English. But to try to teach English not only to us, but to German, to try to teach it to the Spanish. So, of course, when she tried to teach us with the Spanish, I got rather confused. I couldn't learn. Not because I was a dunce, I just couldn't learn the language. And of course, I got punished for that. I was told I wasn't trying. So, they said, well, we'll give up on you. They put me out on the farm. And I helped his father. And I will admit, looking back to my happy days, I was out in the fresh air. I wasn't cooped up in the convent. The farmer supplied me with my sandwiches at lunchtime. All I did, I had a breakfast in the convent, I came back for my evening meal. And I was happy. But it wasn't to last long. So, coming back from the farm this evening, one of the nuns was waiting for me. And I was told, in the morning, I was being sent away. When I asked him where to, it wasn't explained to me. Just to be ready that I was going off. I asked him not to part me from my sister if I could stay there. And although I was out on the farm all day, we did spend evenings together. My sister slept in a different dormitory to me. But we still saw each other, which was the most important thing. Because going back, when I was in Vienna in that convent, in an orphanage, I didn't see much, I didn't see hardly anything of my sister. So that was one consolation, although we were all in England. And I saw my sister. At this point of time, I'd like to say how grateful we both were. Not because we were torn away from our family, but how grateful we were because we had been given a chance. We weren't being persecuted. Someone was, we'd been given a new life. And we were so grateful to the British people, the English people. We'd been in England, and we saw a different side of life. So anyway, in the morning, this person came along. Honestly, I can't even remember whether it was a man or a woman. And to pick me up, and we went off on the train, catch a train from Bury, down to London. Now, I remember the date of this, because that was the 3rd of September, 1939, the day war was declared. Was it the 3rd of September? Was it the war was declared? Yes. I remember that date because when we were sitting in this person's house, having an evening meal, I had learned a little bit of English, smattering. I could understand. And they had the radio on, and I heard this man's voice saying, "We are now at war with Germany." And I looked at the people in this room, and I said to this man that fetched me, "Does that mean I can't go home anymore? I want to see my mother and father again." And he tried to explain to me in a very kindly sort of fashion what it was all about. And he said, "Maybe, if God is willing," and it's the way he said it, "maybe you will see your mother and father again." "I don't know," he said. "I just don't know," he said, "but maybe." Anyway, went to bed that night, breakfast in the morning, and off we went to another railway station, which now I know to be Waterloo. And I was taken by train down to Bournemouth, where I saw this little grey-haired priest. I knew he was a priest because he had this white coat and black thing in front of him, a black suit on, with his lady, makeup, earrings, buck teeth, that's the only way I can describe it, sharp voice, waiting for me. I thought to myself, "Oh dear, not again." Anyway, they shook hands with me, introduced themselves. I think at this time I don't want to put names in because I think there might be repercussions at a later date. Sometimes people deny things that happened many years ago or they conveniently forget in their memory. You follow me, don't you? They took me to his house down in 54 Wellington Road. Now, I do know that this priest used to go to church at and that church, when I go past it these days, it's got a car park in it. It's not far from the square in Bournemouth. I remember the church where they used to have to go down there and take in this bottle of talent and go to wine. And it seems funny, surely they don't need a bottle of wine in 3 days. I used to have to go every 3 days and go and buy a bottle of wine and take it up there. Anyway, we left the station, we had to walk. Oh, quite a distance, I can't remember how far it was, but being a young lad and was getting tired, I had to walk and carry my suitcase, and we carried my case for me. And eventually we finished off in Wellington Road. It's just behind Central Station before me. And I was taken inside. There was another lad, Austrian lad there, called Horst. His surname I can't remember. And there was this little English lad, he came from Liverpool, called Edward Murphy. He and I became very good friends. But unfortunately, because of we were about the same age, we both got into a little bit of mischief. And because we got into mischief, and when I had a family that was punishing as I've been wrong, the things I did in those days, I never punished my children, but I was punished. And many a time I was punished to really, and I was very badly beaten across my buttocks. Anyway, both Edward and I, we got fed up with this.
What sort of things were you punished for, John?
Coming late home from school. In fact, we were getting hungry one day because food was short. We actually had started. We were caught eating dog biscuits. They had several dogs. They were living like a life of learning, but they were alive. And we found these dog biscuits. They left a larder open. And we went in there. We took a half a sack of dog biscuits and hid them. And we were caught by the housekeeper. I think the housekeeper was an auntie of Murphy's. And we were caught, and we were asked. That's where the dog biscuits come from. And of course, we were both taken upstairs, and we were punished.
How did they punish you?
I could hide it.
No, was it a really?
Well, now I'm an older man. I don't think it was a punishable offence, because I was nearly trapped, because my English wasn't all that good anyway, and when I was trying to explain why I was hungry, they didn't want to understand. So we were punished because we were eating dog biscuits.
What exactly did they do?
In what way?
When they hit you?
Well, they smacked me in the buttocks, made me take my trousers off. They made me take my pants off, take my underpants down, and they gave me a jolly good hiding.
Would that be with their hands or with anything else?
I don't know for that. I didn't think it was necessary, but anyway, we got so fed up with it. So Edward said to me, look, he said, I've got some friends and relatives up in Liverpool, because he was an orphan, and use him because of me. And they made me, because I was young, do all the washing up and wash the saucepan and oh goodness knows what. And he said, come on, he said, I've had enough of this, let's go and run off to Liverpool. Next morning, of course, we didn't plan it properly, unfortunately, because we went off next morning, we're going to go to school, and school was at Winton. The school was called St. Walburga's School. And in fact, just recently, when I applied for my Austrian pension, I had to get a certificate of the school I went to. And I phoned them up and asked them for a certificate, and they said, well, how strange. And they sent me a certificate the day I went to school there, in September 1939, and the day I left. And I've got it in my briefcase, I'll show you that after. Instead of going off to school, off we went. Horse used to go on his own because I think he had a girlfriend he used to meet. I think the girlfriend's name was Pat LaBallister. I always remember that name because of the LaBallister. I think she was French descent. Yes, off we went to, that's right, we went off. And when we got to Christchurch, suddenly the silence went, and we were on the bridge in Christchurch, because I know it was a bridge, but underneath we saw the water, we saw the boats back there, and we saw these two planes diving at each other, we heard this shooting, and it must have been a Messerschmitt fighting with an English plane. There were two planes fighting. Anyway, we stood for a while, we got fed up with this, we thought, well, we'd better get on if we go into Liverpool. Mind you, at this time, I had no idea where Liverpool was. I thought, well, Liverpool, it could be the end of the earth. Anyway, off we went. Anyway, we got, must have been somewhere near Lintus in the New Forest. I know now it was Lintus because I remember the police station that took us there afterwards. But anyway, we got into the New Forest and we both felt hungry. And as I said, we'd done this without planning because we had no sandwiches with us. Because we stopped something to eat at school somewhere. So we knocked on these houses to try and scan some food. Nothing happened. So then we saw a lorry going by. And Edward said, oh, he said, I'll stop this lorry. So he did. Asked the lorry driver, this was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he asked the lorry driver if we could have a lift. And he said, where are you going to? He said, we're going up to Liverpool. And he explained to the lorry driver what had happened. So when we got near Lyndhurst, he said, I've just got to call in here. I want to get something to eat. He said, I'll feed you as well. Because he knew we had nothing to eat. So he pulled into Lyndhurst, went into a shop, and he said, got in a cab, and he said, we're going down a little bit further, going to see somebody else. Well, a little to us, he pulled up at the police station. Much drier with it. Of course, he got a cab, so he couldn't get out. Went in, and this policeman came out, got us out of the cab, took us into rooms, and started questioning us. And we wouldn't answer where we come from or anything. Because we hadn't told him all the time where we come from or anything. All we said to him, we came from home. So this policeman said, well, we could knock, he said. My wife's out there cooking eggs and bacon and something for you to eat. But you don't tell me, you won't get nothing. So, of course, we could smell this thing being cooked. And I think our tummies must have got a better of us because we then told him. So we said, well, look, can't you send us somewhere else? Because when we get back, we're going to get a jolly good idea. You won't get punished, I'll promise you. I'll talk to them. I'll talk to this priest and his housekeeper. So anyway, we had our food and we still talked and he phoned up. And somebody must have gone around to Wellington Road because I can't remember whether they had a telephone in those days or not. But anyway, he went, somebody must have gone around there because it's less or less, they're waiting for you. But in the meantime, we've been reported missing, which I found out later, because Hoss was there. He came from Austria. He, because we hadn't shown up at school, then he home, told the minister, told his father, that we hadn't been in the before he started to get worried. Because after all, he was responsible for us. Anyway, he said, you'll be all right, so we got into this police car. And he drove us back to Dorman. And he said, I promise you, he says, you won't get into trouble. When we got into the house, the police may still be in us. Upstairs, you. Because we were both at one time sleeping in the same room, but they separated us. After this incident with the biscuits. And the policeman said, don't worry, he said, you won't get into trouble. When the policeman went, he said, I saw the car going off. Police came upstairs and he had to slip over the sand. Into bed, you. So, of course, I turned my back on him because I got my clothes off. And I felt this sting on my back. I thought, what the? There he stood there with his slipper. Bend over. And I don't know how many times she smacked me, but I really felt it. And I cried and I cried. He went into Edward's room and he got the phone. I had nothing to eat that night. But when I asked Edward in the morning, he'd been given a meal. I thought this was very unfair. Anyway, on the Saturday, to go back a little bit, on the Saturday, I got very friendly on the Friday. I used to talk to this baker. I said, look at our bread and cakes and what have you. Not that we saw any of the cakes, but we saw the bread. And